I'm Susan Saunders with my friends from Kingston Wealth Management. It is Rudy and Rudy today. John Rudy, Chris Rudy, who you get to meet when you come into the office and you make an appointment.
That's right.
You get all those new clients we keep recommending to come say hi. How's that going, Chris? You still getting lots of new faces?
We are. We're getting to see a lot of people who have listened to you for a long time, but just get to meet us for the first time, and we enjoy it.
Well, I'm very good about reminding people, hey, that first meeting is free.
It is free.
So that's what they like to hear. We got to find out if we can afford to have a financial advisor.
Or if you can afford not to.
That's always the important point. So anybody see some higher gas prices on the way over here?
You know, it was kind of funny. Yesterday, I was telling Chris, I left Champaign and it was $2.59. I got to the station on Towanda and 150 and it was $2.21 yesterday morning. And when I went home yesterday afternoon, it was back up to like $2.49 or $2.50. So I'm not sure what's going on. I have a feeling holidays play into the factor a little bit.
Well, there was a little bump up in oil. That was a thing. A
little bit, but you know, for the most part, when you see those intraday station swings, I always feel like something's going on. Because then I got further down the road and in near Leroy, and it was $2.26. So I, you know, who knows?
Grab the gas while you can.
It's still, but for the millions and millions of people that are traveling, it's still pretty doggone good nationwide. Better than what it certainly could be and what it has been in past. So
are the two of you traveling? I mean, you're both here, so I'm assuming you're not going to Florida.
No, not till Christmas for me. Chris is going to be up in Champaign, aren't you, with your family and your group? And I'm going to be with Andrea's, my wife's family, and so folks down on the farm.
Neither of you have to cook.
No, I'm cooking.
Yes, all mine.
Yeah, we're both cooking, but and we'll do our stuff together on Christmas. It's kind of trade-off. You got to do a little of both.
Now, I saw you both flinch when I said Black Friday forecast, if that's still a thing.
Well, you know, I think
people aren't shopping this holiday season. I'm just not sure Friday's the day anymore.
I think there's been some slowdown of that. I think people have backed away from that a little bit. I think even some companies have almost used it as a marketing advantage to talk about that they're no longer going to put their people and their staff through those crazy hours and make it more meaningful Thanksgiving time with your family. And so I think it's worked for some folks. But, yeah, there's still going to be a lot of activity on Friday. I mean, if you're out and about and there's going to be plenty of opportunities if you want to get up early and get out and shop for some good deals.
But yeah, we've talked previously here with Kevin Kingston about the fact that consumer confidence seems to be up this year of people spending money.
Yeah, consumer confidence. And I also saw something, Chris, this morning that I think that said the average bonus this year is going to be around 66%, which is a huge increase from what it's been in the past, and that's kind of overall average. I think they said the average bonus is going to be like $1,700 a year, picking right around that ballpark. But when you add the fact that some folks might have a little bit more, you know, feeling that they're going to have that bonus in their pocket, yeah, I think it bodes well for retail spending this year. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think all those points are valid, especially, you know, now that so much is done online. It's so there's, I mean, I get tons of emails for pre Black Friday sales, and
I'm shopping today,
and,
honestly.
Yeah,
already.
And those deals are out there, and you know, I think even from a, you know, liability standpoint, from some of these big businesses, people, they don't want people getting trampled as they come mm-hmm. in. It's just easier. You don't have to pay to keep your employees there. Like you say, you can offer a nice maybe perk that you can spend your time with your family if you can do more online. So, and I think you're seeing the online businesses, not just your major retailers. Now, a lot of local businesses offer some of their products mm-hmm. online. Some, you know, only do in-person business, but, you know, we talk about shopping local a lot.
Yeah.
That's something that's come around over the last few years of you can pretty much buy online at any level right now.
So I think, you know, there's so much news out there, and I know we've got a shortened day today, but we're going to get into as much as we can. Chris, you talked about the leading economic indicators really rose in October. I mean, that's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, especially coming off of some of those natural disasters that we saw early in the fall and, you know, hurricanes and things of that nature. So to see those numbers still be strong, to be coming back, you know, one of the ones that I look at, this Conference Board mm-hmm. Leading Economic Index, which sounds complicated, but essentially it just suggests that the U.S. growth is still solid. It's going to be solid through the holiday season. And they look at a number of different factors. But, I mean, you hit on the big ones of people are seeing for the first time wages increase
right.
That we haven't seen in a number of years. And it's really those wage increases are coming at the lower levels of our economy. So That's where it really makes the most difference. I know we're going to get into later talking a little bit about inflation and some changes that are proposed along with the tax bill. But if you can stimulate the lower wage earners, that's really where you start to see the effects.
Well, and then the jobless claims number came in at a low point yesterday. I heard this morning. So,
is that any relation to seasonal hiring? Because there are a lot of places hire just for the holidays.
I think that's probably true. Although I think the amount of full time hires are so much better than they were in the last 2 to 3 years. But yeah, I think there's some seasonality in with holiday and that. But I think for the most part, right now, we're kind of in a situation in most parts of the country, not all, that if you want a job, if you want to work, you can probably find it. And that wasn't the case in the past, 5, 6 years ago. I mean, it was pretty tough out there. So I think there's a lot to be happy to look forward to right now.
Ahead and say it. It's the time of the year. So there's a lot to be thankful for.
Well, there is. I mean, it truly is. There's no question. Chris, I want to ask you a little bit about the Fed's, the long bond and how that relates to the future of the dollar. I mean, I think people get a little bit confused about that, but there's been a lot of discussion about that as of recent.
Yeah, not something we touch on all the time on this show, but from time to time you'll see stories in the news that say, well, if we've got a strong dollar or a weak dollar, or try to make some kind of prediction based on the dollar. And for a long time, that had been tied to the short-term interest rates. But with everything that we've seen over the last 8 to 10 years with the quantitative easing, the government purchase of bonds, there's been so much activity in that short-term area that the correlation really isn't there anymore. And what this article that I think you're referencing is saying now it's more tied to long-term bonds. So the higher interest rate bonds, the longer-term bonds, having more of a correlation with, for instance, I think the article goes to cite something about the German money versus ours, and trying to look at the way that those spreads are, conversion rates and things of that nature. So just, I think for perspective to know that, some of the once conventional wisdom isn't really holding in terms of strength of the dollar, relative to other currencies.
Yeah. Chris, you kind of hit on a little bit a topic that I wanted to get into. I might as well do it right now. And it has to do with inflation, because I think there's the effect that it has on the middle class and how it's measured is changing. I mean, there's a couple of key components I wanted you to just kind of mention a little bit that people can maybe understand when there's really talked about inflation, what the core really goes down to, and maybe just take a few minutes to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and this really comes from kind of this, the thing we have been talking about quite a bit, the new tax bill, hopefully a new tax bill of some variety. But, one of the things that's in there that's built in that not everybody sees is that they're basically putting in a new way to factor in inflation or the cost of how much things increase year over year. Right now, everybody, you may have heard of, it's what's called CPI. It's the index that they've used. They use a representative basket of goods and track the price of that year after year to kind of determine.
Yeah, I have eggs gone up this year, have milk gone up this year, and they put it together.
Exactly. But what they're actually proposing is a switch to what's called blockchain inflation. And it's just kind of a complicated name, but it essentially boils down to it picks up on those changes much quicker and has a little bit more accuracy to it.
That's interesting. Isn't blockchain the secret ingredient to all things Bitcoin?
Yeah. Well, something like that. I'm not the Bitcoin expert, but
They're connected.
Yes.
That's the first time I heard the word blockchain. But it is supposed to be a real big economic indicator.
But they put it in because it keeps inflation lower, or projects inflation lower than maybe what the current CPI does, because they're trying to satisfy so many of these legislative requirements to make sure deficits don't extend past 10 years, because then they can vote, at 51 versus 60 for getting some of these tax bills passed. But what you have to be careful of is that when we don't factor in inflation as much as we currently are now, those things like the standard deduction that you take at the end of the year, which usually get increased because of cost of living, may not get increased as much. And so what they're saying is that could be a little bit more detrimental to lower wage workers who – a $6,000 or $12,000 standard deduction relative to a $70,000 to $80,000 family income is a much more of a larger percentage than somebody, you know, making several hundred thousand. So again, just something to kind of keep an eye on of, you know, and that this may be there to stay even if taxes don't last for the tax cuts to get, you know, put in for a couple of years, but then don't get extended, that this new calculation of inflation, they've kind of stumbled onto something to help their projections.
Now, we've had so much market activity this year in the positive terms. Are we concerned at all that if the tax bill doesn't get done this year, and there were so many people kind of hedging their bets on that, is that going to be a time to really start looking at the numbers quickly? Because if it doesn't happen, is that going to change the output right now of everybody's happiness and joy in the market?
I think it's definitely something, and I know we've even hit on it before, it's something you need to be prepared for because there is, to some degree, some of this is kind of baked in, if you will. There's some anticipation that we're going to get this done, maybe not by the end of the year, I wouldn't say, but if it's not done early first quarter, you'll probably see some volatility. But what you have to keep in mind is that doesn't mean you need to do anything. Just be prepared for things to get a little bit more volatile compared to what they are now. But trying to make a move based on that, again, I think just kind of invites a whole host of extra problems that really aren't needed because the fundamentals are still there. I mean, the earnings have been just incredibly strong across most sectors of the economy. So that's what really drives things. The tax bill, the legislative items affect us short term, but long term, the indicators are still good.
Gotcha. And I think there's this sentiment out there too, and Chris and I are talking about it on the way over. I think, you know, if this isn't done, I think there's been enough people waiting for something to change, waiting for a reason to sort of hit the market and take it back a little bit, and so that could, if it's not done, could be that impetus to do that, but. It, as Chris said, it would be short-lived at any rate.
Okay. Let's take a short break, and then we'll come back with more from Chris Rudy and John Rudy. John Rudy and Chris Rudy. I don't know who gets top billing here when Kevin's not home. But they're both excellent representatives from Kingston Wealth Management. And today we are talking about all things money, and maybe money's a conversation you need to have with your family when you get together during the holiday season. We'll talk more about what's going on, though, in the markets after this.
Give to the WJBC.
1025, as John Rudy mentioned earlier, it's John Rudy and Kevin Kingston in studio from Kingston Wealth Management. Thankful to have them here today, the day before Thanksgiving. But as John mentioned earlier, we do have a shortened show today because ISU women's basketball team are playing at George Mason, and they're taking over the broadcast at 10:50 this morning. So a little less of me, a little less of you two, a little quicker to the foods that we're supposed to be eating today that aren't turkey, because we're going to get all the turkey tomorrow. And as we're talking with Kingston Wealth Management, I just throw this out that this might be the time of year that you not only want to talk to them about your financial planning, but they may have questions that you need to talk to the rest of your family about.
Yeah. And you mentioned before the break, it might be something to talk about at Thanksgiving. It's a lot safer than political talk or religion.
Right.
At least if you talk about financial, you got a shot at not getting, you know, a turkey leg thrown at you. But I think there's a time and a place. And I think if you've got, particularly if you're an older couple and you've got kids and grandkids that are going to be involved, whether it's in a business or whether it's going to be on an estate, you know, maybe that's an opportunity to talk a little bit about some things, some issues, Chris, that we talk about preparing, just communicating. You know, we've said for a long, long time, one of the most important things people can do is to communicate what's going on, where the documents are, you know, what's going to be happening.
Who's your financial representative?
Exactly.
You know, just stand up at the table, tell everybody what you're thankful for, and say, if anything happens to me, don't forget to check in
here's
with Kingston Wealth Management.
Yeah. Here's the lockbox.
They know what's going on.
But I do think that there's there's obviously some a time and a place when you talk about money and all things such. But I think there's clearly the communication aspect that sometimes that's the only time families get together. You know, if you're really out of town folks, and
right.
So if you can take a little bit of time away from the table, perhaps, and to go over a few things, why not? I mean, certainly can. We've seen a lot of frustration, haven't you, Chris, from people who have had situations where a loved one passed, you know, unexpectedly, and then to try to, you know, forensically get your hands on everything and try to get it parsed out. It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not easy in the event of someone's passing, but sometimes it's even more difficult when you have a parent or an elder loved one who's still alive but maybe not capable of making some decisions on their own. And mm-hmm. then, you know, we've seen all kinds of things where there's infighting between in and amongst family members. And, you know, knowing where the assets are at to you know, for, especially if you're trying to help or protect a parent or a loved one who's elderly, who's living, so someone's not trying to give them, you know, the wrong advice or help them move money when they shouldn't be.
Correct.
You know, that's a difficult situation too. So the more aware that you can be. Now, you don't have to know all the details, but at least if you know where to look. So if you ever do get worried about, you know, where a parent may have some things that mm-hmm. it's easier to help them kind of keep track of, even if you're not actually doing it.
You know, we before we get to the news break, while we're condensing, I want to get Chris's take on something. You know, we've talked a lot about what's going on in this country, the S&P 500, things of that nature. But Chris, we're not the only economy that's showing strong signs this year in terms of market emerging markets, other countries. What are you seeing worldwide?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very strong year here, but it's also been an extremely strong year abroad. Not only developed economies, but emerging markets. And I think, you know, what you're referencing there is that emerging market class. I mean, it's what we've come to know it to be over the last 10 years. It can be at the very top performer of the equity sector, or it can be at the bottom. And this year it just happens to be up towards the top mm-hmm. And actually outpacing some of those developed markets. But, you know, I think the bigger picture is knowing when and where that's appropriate for mm-hmm. your portfolio. If you are somebody who's a little bit older, maybe you're taking a supplemental income from, you know, you're already retired and you don't have a great deal of equity already, maybe not having so much emerging market, something so volatile in your portfolio, especially if you're kind of taking distributions. Mm-hmm. If you're more growth oriented, if you're all stock, yeah, sure, certainly has a place for some folks in there. But, you know, I think that's a good question to talk with your advisor about of, well, not only what's my stock to bond mix, but what makes up those. I mean, understanding, you know, what's in your portfolio, I think helps you become a more informed investor and to maybe understand that, hey, if there's some things in there that don't quite match your profile, you'd want to know that too.
Yeah, if you're a strong vegetarian and all of a sudden you're heavily invested in pork bellies, you might be like, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, that might be trouble.
But this is why you can talk to experts. Real quick, if you do want to get in touch with Kingston Wealth Management, what's your holiday hours?
You know, today we're normal, Chris, till 5 o'clock, and then I think you
Close Friday.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And the phone number to call in case you want to make an appointment next week?
It's 663-9477.
Yeah. After you talk to the family, it might be a time to get them all together and visit Mike Flaherty. John Rudy is son here. Chris Rudy is here in studio. And Kevin Kingston, I'm sure, will supervise from his holiday perch. Let's take a look at news, and we'll be right back here on WJBC.
News at the top. And
thanks so much, Craig. WJBC weather forecast today, sunny, high 37, clouds low 30 tonight, tomorrow sunny, high 45, and Friday, partly cloudy, high 57. 34 now, back with our friends from Kingston Wealth Management. Again, a shorter show today because we'll be going to live Redbird women's basketball about 10:50 as they're taking on George Mason for their first game of the regular season. Final thoughts on money from Chris Rudy and John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management.
First of all, I want to make sure that my paycheck's going to be the same even though I'm on a shortened show today. Did I get the same as I get last week?
Yes,
same,
absolutely.
Same amount.
And with all a big bonus check, 10% of what you made today.
Here we go. One last topic I wanted to comment on, because I think we've talked about it, but I think there's some science behind it. But Chris, there's worriers in this business, people who worry about every minute the market. They're always constantly looking at their phones, or they're looking at their MSNBC streaming across their screen. And it seems like there's enough data out there to support that there's usually the people that get it wrong. Fair statement.
Yeah, I mean, we look at and we've talked about time and time again of people who try to time the markets, try to tell you when's a good time to get in, when to get out, can, you know, coincidentally be right from time to time, but to replicate that consistently over a long period of time has been difficult. And, you know, one of my kind of idols, people that I look up to, Sir John Templeton, hundreds of years ago.
Right.
Said the four most dangerous words in investing are this time is different.
I love
and,
that.
You know, you can look at all the data and all the math and all the, you know, facts behind it. But, you know, I think that really hits it is, you know, we see the way things progress from time to time. They're predominantly up with some intermittent downturn in there. But to think that that now we're going to all of a sudden have some kind of new normal or that this time is different, that's when we start to see the big problems creep in. So if you can kind of keep that in your mind, I think everything else will come a lot easier.
Yeah, because, you know, it just seems like we see folks almost getting their way of themselves because, unbelievably, those four words are uttered often. I mean, I've heard that even when I was in the banking business. I mean, people talk about they get nervous, they get scared. I know you talked about what happened 50 years ago, but this time it's going to be different. This conditions are different right now. And it's still talked about in those terms. And so I think he makes a great point. So I think it's just one of those things that, you know, worries, save your worries for something else. There's plenty to worry about nowadays. But I think, and Chris, it gets down to making sure that you've got somebody that you trust, whether it's a financial advisor, whether it's a knowledgeable family member, what have you. At least make sure that you're at least getting good information, because I think that's part of the problem why people worry is they don't have good information.
Well, yeah, and you know, if you follow enough CNBC financial journalism, you're not going to find the good news out there, or you're going to be able to be, you know, most people read what they believe. You know, they kind of reinforce what you already have in your head. And I think, you know, one of the benefits of working either with an advisor or somebody who maybe isn't as emotionally or personally vested in your outcome can give you some more objective advice. It may not always be what you want to hear, but many times it's what you need to hear, or at least hear and consider and make the best decision you can armed with the best information. So,
and speaking of information, I am always very impressed, and I don't recommend this enough. You can always call Kingston Wealth Management,
663-9477.
9477. Sorry, I have you on speed dial, so I don't normally type in the numbers. I just hit the
number. Like the turkey hotline.
Exactly. But when it comes to the website that you have for Kingston Wealth Management, I'm very impressed with
Thank
the website
you.
That you can go in without revealing your details yet to a human being and without worrying about any, you know, security issues. Get some nice financial models of where you're at, where you need to be, do I need help, without having to sign up for anything, without having to give over any information. If you're worried about suddenly getting lots of emails from Chris saying, why don't you come on down to the office? You know, you're anonymous when you're going through those models.
I'd like to say I developed all those models, but that would not be truthful.
Well, there's still a very good resource.
They listen, thanks for saying that, because I think people have really really let us know that they like that website, and it's very user-friendly, and I think get on there and just take a minute to do it's KingstonWealthManagement.net.
So KingstonWealthManagement.net, that's right. And that's where you'll actually get to see what Kevin looks like, and John and Chris. People ask me that all the time. What do they look like? And pictures are on the website.
Yeah, I'm the older model, but far better looking.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Safe travels. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
And we're going to get in then to the end of the year, things you need to know. Financially, there might be some things on the to-do list, but thanks for joining us today here on WJBC.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Financial Group, Incorporated is a separate entity of Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc., and past performance does not guarantee future results.